Being prepared is all about having the right tools. The OnX off-road map and navigation app is the best fully functional GPS when you're out of service. Offline maps allow you to access all interactive land and trail data and custom map markups when you're out of service. Your phone's internal GPS gives you full navigation capabilities offline, so you'll always know where you are and how to get home safely. Go to onxmaps.com and use code MeatEater to get 20% off your membership today. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by special guest John Muellum. In addition to John, we also have Steve, Corinne, Brody, Hayden, Giannis, and Cal. John, how you feel about trivia?
I feel pretty good. I just dropped my pen cap. Not off to a good start. I can't find it.
But you don't need any pens for this game of trivia.
I figured you should say something like the writer John Muellum, author most recently of Serious Face.
I like it, which is about...
It's a collection of his magazine reporting, some of which deals with the ways in which animals drive people a little wacky.
I like it. Now, John, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions born out of Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. So far, we've had Steve win 5 times, Brody win 4, Giannis win 2, Clay, Seth, Corinne, Chester, and our trivia guest each win once.
I am not going to rest until you fix the way you do the scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
It is blank for blank. Okay? Steve's 5 for 11 or whatever. 5 for 11. Because you have had people that played once and won once.
That's right.
People might be like, oh, he played 5 and won 5. It's like,
you got,
it's like, it's blank for blank, because everybody's not always here every time.
I think your whole goal with this is to embarrass Cal. That's where you're going for, right?
No, I'm not. I'm just going for, like, greater clarity.
I'm an easy target.
Greater clarity. He's blank for blank.
For context, if we were doing it that way, Cal would be like 046, I think.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Hey, I posted, today on Instagram to promote your... the fact that this trivia show is now weekly. And CC Mason 75 in the comments wrote, "Where's the biggest whiner award at? SR would win every week." And then there's a picture of a face, someone really laughing hard, and a turkey.
I like that.
I don't know how the turkey
gets a turkey.
He's a turkey.
Works in there. But, okay.
Or maybe he's like,
no, there's two turkeys.
He's also pointing out that I like to hunt for turkeys.
I had somebody write in who said that they host trivia at a couple bars in their local town, and they said that every game of trivia has somebody like Steve there, and everybody hates that person, from the other competitors to the host of trivia. Said someone's always got a problem with how things are worded. Someone's always complaining. So, Steve, you are that guy for this show.
Hey, I'm going to start a club. 4 people like that, and we're going to play trivia together.
I'll join.
Brad Parker said, get Spencer Newharth a trophy for having to deal with Steve each trivia.
This is turning into a Steve roast today, man.
Watch me come out and win.
Now, we have some housekeeping to get to from previous shows. On a previous episode, we had Steve complaining about the question, how many leaves does Poison Ivy have? Multiple arborists wrote in and said that Poison Ivy does always have three leaves, but if we want to be more anatomically correct for the board game, then we should refer to them as leaflets so that there is no arguing.
Oh, I would have never have argued. He's exactly right.
So leaflets it is going forward. Also on a previous episode, we had many folks up in arms about the question, name three of the five countries where polar bears live, because I allowed Greenland as a correct answer. Now, technically, Greenland is considered an autonomous country within the Kingdom of Denmark, but I decided before the show that since we're all a bunch of ignorant Americans with ignorant American listeners, that I wasn't going to punish anyone for saying Greenland instead of Denmark. But I want to try to...
I didn't know that until you just said it. Well, here's the deal. I think maybe I knew it at one time, maybe. I don't know, but I didn't know that.
I want to try to appease those listeners. I want to try to appease those listeners who
did
wrote
you know
in.
That, John?
I did know that.
He's going to be a formidable foe. Man.
So, we're going to make a big announcement right here, right now on Meat Eater Trivia. Our podcast is officially declaring Greenland a country. So suck that, you geopolitical nerds, and congrats, Greenlanders. You no longer have to suffer under the oppressive rule of Denmark.
Good, oh my God. That's taken care of. That's why, remember when Trump said something like he's like I'll buy it from you.
He's gonna buy it.
And everybody got mad at him, but I'm like, that's a great idea.
We should.
We used to buy stuff all the time.
Yeah, Europe.
Like,
Europe,
why would
shouldn't
you be mad
them.
About that?
Yeah. Louisiana Purchase, that worked out.
Yeah, it's like it's not like unheard of for the U.S. to buy a chunk of land. If they wanted to sell it, why would we not buy it?
I don't know.
I think they're mad because they don't want to sell.
Kind of sounds
it.
Like. Sounds
but
like.
Who gets mad when someone makes an offer? If someone's like, "Hey, I'll buy your truck off," you're like, "No,
willing
sorry,
seller,
man.
Willing
yeah,
buyer."
Yeah, I'm not selling my truck right now. You don't want to be like asshole.
So if you listen to this podcast, you have now entered a verbal agreement that you will refer to Greenland as a country. And if you know anybody from Greenland, please let them know that they are now a country and their Independence Day is officially June 9th.
Excellent.
With that, we're on to Meat Eater Trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Question one. The topic is conservation, and as always, it will be multiple choice.
John sharpening his mark.
This first great question.
The expectations down, Steve. I don't like it. Keep the expectations down.
This first great question comes to us via Michael Politz. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The lower 48's first ring-necked pheasants were released in 1881. In what state? Is it Oregon, New Jersey, Iowa, or California? I saw Steve starting to write before I even finished the question. So again, the lower 48's first ring-necked pheasants were released in 1881 in what state? Your choices are Oregon, New Jersey, Iowa, or California. Now, John, this will be your only multiple choice in our 10-round quiz show.
Just for me?
No,
everybody
no,
else keeps getting their multiple choice. Man, I'm really hoping.
Spencer, are you cool?
I remember what I read about this a long time ago.
I need to get on my phone and make one little note. I promise, just for it's work related.
Sure.
And
just get a witness.
Let it go.
I have
you
to
you
do
have a whiteboard right in front of you.
No, Corinne will watch me do that.
While you're doing that, everybody
what's,
have
what's
an
answer? What's he putting down? Oh, yeah, I got it.
He's adding to his to-do list. Like,
look up where the ring.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying California, Cal saying Oregon, John saying New Jersey, Brody saying Oregon, Hayden saying New Jersey, Corinne saying Iowa, and Giannis saying California. The correct answer is Oregon.
Ah! Brody got it. Oh. God, really? How'd you know that?
I remember reading about it a long
Plus,
time ago.
It was mentioned in the trivia portion of this podcast several weeks ago.
Is that right? You're
really?
Running out of material?
I wasn't in that. I wasn't in that.
It was a side
one.
Conversation.
Yeah.
But it's on the recording somewhere, I promise.
Son of a bitch, now Brody's winning already.
Owen Denny was the first person to release pheasants in Oregon. He got the idea while observing a pheasant farm in Shanghai. Denny had 60 of them shipped across the ocean in 1881, followed by two more shipments in 1882 and 1884. He said the pheasants did incredibly well traveling by boat from China to Oregon, but nearly all of them died when they boarded a train in America.
Hmm.
So if you're shipping pheasants, boat okay, train not okay.
Do you know that idea that humans, the people used to think you had a homunculus? Like you had a little man that lived in you?
Mm.
I feel like my homunculus knew that. Because
so it's like some give part, him a point. Give him a point then.
Steve's yeah. homunculus. Yeah.
Some one. Part of me knew that.
Dude, that's a t-shirt. Steve's homunculus.
He Wait, knew. He knew.
We need Hunter. We need Hunter to like draw a little oh, like yeah. mini me you inside of your.
He's got a better case. Memory Steve. And he's a lot less whiny too.
Steve, shoot that pheasant, Steve.
I want to. Holy shit! I want to tap into the mindset of I'm going to mail order pheasants from China to Oregon in 1860 whatever.
Yeah, like, he's got and nothing just, else on his mind. Yeah, he's like. Tuesday delivery?
Question two, the topic is hunting. What disease has the nickname rabbit fever? Again, what disease has the nickname rabbit fever? How you feeling about this one, John?
Terrible.
Hey, quick blanket to answer, terrible.
Oh my God, Spencer. Leave it on for a long time.
Steve, come on.
Well, I know it. I know a lot about it. It's,
Come on, homunculus.
Keep that thing clicking.
Help him out.
No, I know what it is. It's,
I think your homunculus got infected with it once.
So we have Brody who thinks he has it, Giannis who thinks he has it. Cal, you feeling good?
Oh, shit. I already wrote something down, so I'm
I just can't think of the word is all.
which happens that's to be it. The answer.
It's the only problem.
That's the trivia equivalent part. Of my girlfriend in Canada, you know, that nobody's ever seen is I just can't think of the word.
Met her at summer camp.
Yep.
Whoa, long answer time here.
You think you're going to come up with it?
No, I know what it is. I could tell you the, I could tell you the different forms it takes.
It's like definitely talked about this on a podcast.
I could tell you about a guy who hit one with his lawnmower and contracted it in an aerosolized form.
Yeah, it was or almost, like it was an entire podcast.
Yeah, or like the little kid who yeah.
I'm gonna protest this one.
A lot of hints coming up.
It's been a long time. And,
oh, what is that so word?
All right, let's go.
Brody wants another notch on that.
I quit.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve without an answer.
Tularemia. Tularemia.
Cal saying trichinella. John saying parvo. Brody saying tularemia. Hayden saying scurvy. Corinne saying
That's what rabbits don't eat enough lemons.
And Giannis saying tularemia. The correct answer is tularemia.
That like kind of yeah. The mnemonic
once,
device
once
should be like ballerina.
I could not get anything else. I knew it was wrong. I couldn't form any other words in my mind.
This disease is also known as deer fly fever. There are about 230 human cases reported each year in America, and it's been found in every state except Hawaii.
Tell him about the guy that hit one with his lawnmower and got aerosolized tularemia that killed him.
That's wild. He's one of the 230. That's a unique way to catch it,
There's
I imagine.
Been talk of they could potentially turn it into a chemical weapon because it can be aerosolized.
Oh, tularemia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that rabbit disease?
Yep. That's the one.
We're on to question three, and the topic is wildlife. In the year 373 BC, Greek historian Thucydides reported that prior to an earthquake, there were five types of animals that fled the city. Name one of them. Again, the year was 373 BC, and a Greek historian reported that prior to a major earthquake, there were five types of animals that fled the city. You need to name one of them.
What was the category of this one?
Wildlife.
Oh, okay.
The category is John.
Oh.
How's John doing?
Terrible. Oh for three. What a two. Whatever we're at.
Does everybody have an answer?
I got a shot in the dark.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying rats, Cal saying rock doves, John saying dogs, Brody saying birds, Hayden saying rats, Corinne saying rodents, and Giannis saying snakes. The correct answers are rodents, dogs, snakes, weasels, and centipedes.
No birds.
Are you giving it for rats?
If you said rats, we'll give it to you.
Okay, all right.
So the room did fairly well. No birds were fleeing the city, though. Now, history is full of anecdotal evidence of animals predicting natural disasters. One study examined the popular theory that there's a correlation between lost pet ads in the San Jose Mercury News and the dates of earthquakes in San Francisco. But after a thorough statistical analysis published in 1988, scientists determined there's actually no correlation between the two. Now, John, in your writings of earthquakes, did you come across any unique animal stories?
Definitely, there were a lot of reports of dogs going nuts before the Alaska earthquake, for sure. Yeah, I remember a lot of the people, because a lot of people's accounts started with, well, I was trying to figure out what's going on with my dog, and then boom. So, but I've never seen it happen.
Like, he was feeling something they weren't detecting.
They just start barking or, you know, pacing or stuff like that, yeah.
We're on to question four. The topic is cooking. This next great question comes to us via Jeff Kurtz. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Banned for import by the USDA in 1971, this Scottish dish is traditionally made by mixing organ meat with oatmeal and then boiling it in an animal's stomach. What is it? Banned for import by the USDA in 1971, this Scottish dish is traditionally made by mixing organ meat with oatmeal and then boiling it in an animal's stomach.
Brody wrote quite cockily.
How about you? You got it?
Very cockily.
Okay.
Perhaps more cockily than Brody.
Could just be projecting.
Does everybody have an answer? Giannis, is that a no?
I have three letters of an answer, and I'm hoping you're going to give it to me with three letters.
Oh, that's it. I'm very interested to see what these letters are.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying haggis, 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 and Giannis saying hag. We'll give it to you, Yanni. The correct answer.
What happened?
He feels bad because he took that one away from me.
But what happened? How would you know hag?
I just couldn't remember the whole, you know, hags in, hag dis, hag.
Now one less letter, and I would not have given it to you.
Thank you.
If you'd wrote ha.
I really appreciate it.
Haggis is still banned.
No more importing those Scottish hags.
Haggis is still banned today because traditional recipes consist of about 15% sheep lung, which the USDA says has an increased risk of carrying foodborne illnesses. But if you're really interested in trying Scotland's national dish, there are plenty of lung-free manufacturers who make a legal version of haggis.
I went to the Scottish poet Bobby Burns?
No.
This is the Scottish poet Bobby Burns. I went to in a predominantly Scottish region. I went to the annual Bobby Burns Festival.
Which was where?
Out near Miles City. Mm. And they played a lot of bagpipe, read Bobby Burns poetry, and then, I mean, a lot of people were there, over 100 people, and we ate haggis.
I like it.
Yeah.
You think it was had lung in it?
It was made right there.
Oh.
But the bummer is, instead of cooking it in the cow's stomach, they were just cooking it in like turkey bags, which I thought was bullshit.
Steve likes his haggis with stomach. We're on to question five. The topic is conservation. Name one of the five biggest private landowners in America. Again, name one of the five biggest private landowners in America. Cal, isn't there some great quote about, like, a lot of conservation happens on private land, or, like, you need private land for conservation?
That's a quote?
I feel like it's a thing that's said when people tend to overlook what happens on the other side of the fence.
Well, like, all conservation east of the Mississippi is occurring there.
Exactly.
There's math, I guess, yeah.
That's the quote.
640 million acres of public land. There's roughly 925 million acres of land dedicated specifically for agriculture. And then within the private holdings, there's more private land in the lower 48 specifically set aside for wildlife or recreation than all of our national parks combined in the lower 48.
That's why we got you here. go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Turner, Cal saying Turner, Brody saying the Koch brothers.
Koch
brothers. Where I grew up, if it's spelled like that, it's Koch. Hayden saying Ted Turner. Giannis saying Ted Turner. Corinne left the room.
No, he wrote Ted.
Again,
there's no way we're going to accept that.
Which Ted
no
Nugent. Giannis said Ted. Giannis
except
said Ted
for the
Nugent.
Title of his book was Call Me Ted.
I don't think you should accept
You know what, Giannis? I'm not going to because we gave you the last
remember,
one.
I couldn't remember
Could be dancing.
Name.
Yeah, because I remember Tularemi. I just couldn't remember it.
Corinne, what's your answer? And Corinne says Ted Turner. The correct answers are John Malone, the Emerson family, Ted Turner, the Reed family, and Stan Kroenke.
Yeah, I'm like neck and neck with Brody.
I thought for sure they'd be on the list.
Do you have the breakdown? Is Malone? Is the
he
timber,
passed up Turner?
John Malone is number one. He is the largest private landowner in the country. He owns 2.2 million acres spread across Florida, New Mexico, Maryland, Maine, New Hampshire, Colorado, and Wyoming.
I'm going to call him, see if I get hunting permission. I'm going to write him one of them letters that Spencer sent.
Can help you out.
You can hunt his place in Maine.
Ah. I mean, just me.
Besides all that ground, he also owns stake in Formula One, Sirius XM Radio, and the Atlanta Braves. Huh. Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update.
Yeah, I'd love to. Everyone is in first place.
Wow.
Everyone has 3 points.
Okay.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I like that.
We are
halfway through.
Can you
imagine if I would have gotten the first two right?
Well, then you'd be in first, Steve. Crazy.
You know what? I can imagine that.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times, I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Do you like free protein for a whole year? Well, deals this good are hard to come by at the grocery store. I, at home, well, I got 2 freezers, but you know what I'm saying. I like to have a freezer stocked full of stuff. I like feeling prepared, man. When I come home and it's time to make dinner, I like to go in. I got all my proteins lined up in there. Just makes me feel good about stuff. And with ButcherBox, you'll always be prepared with meat in the freezer. It means fewer trips to the grocery store. Delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. You get a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. You'll get exclusive deals as a member, too. Sign up at ButcherBox.com/MeatEater and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free-for-a-year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free and every order for a year. So every box you get has that in it, free for a year. Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/MeatEater. Make sure you use code MeatEater to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, meaning you put them on, they feel great. Little or no break-in, period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Just ask my buddy Chili, who's been slipping around in his Tecova boots, talking about how great he feels in them. He loves them.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable. They're very fashionable.
and I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go around Bozeman.
Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Question six. The topic is bow fishing. This next great question comes to us via Nolan Laird. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia at themeateater.com.
Shit's heating up for John Muellum right now.
I'm not even sure I know what bow fishing is.
What is bow fishing?
What phenomenon causes fish to appear closer to the surface because of how light changes direction when it meets water? What phenomenon causes fish to appear closer to the surface because of how light changes direction when it meets water? We have a fairly confident room. Brody and Steve have been giving each other the stink eye the whole time.
Right over me. It's coming right across me like lasers.
Yep.
Did you breathe a little sigh of relief when you heard the actual question?
Yes, but no, not really.
Versus the topic of bow fishing. Yeah.
I don't feel like that you'd have to know anything about bow fishing to get this right.
Here's the deal. If we want this trivia podcast to last more than 2 months, we got to have questions like this.
Are you saying it's not a good question?
No. I'm saying we need to go to the fringes of the Meat Eater universe to have a question like this. The answer to every question can't be white-tailed deer. That's what I'm saying.
White-tailed deer.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying refraction, Cal saying refraction, refraction, refraction. Everybody got it right.
You have the correct answer. Settle the score, man.
We're all in
first
place.
Refraction. Light refraction is the primary reason so many bow fishers miss their target high. A good rule of thumb is to aim 3 inches below the fish for every foot of depth. So, if you're shooting at a bottom-dwelling carp in 3 feet of water, you should be aiming about 9 inches below the fish's belly.
Yeah, I knew that.
Or about 1.5 carp thicknesses.
There you go.
It just depends on how big the carp is. But.
Question seven, the topic is hunting. Now, this is an audio question. Phil the engineer is going to play 30 seconds of an animal's call, and you need to tell me what that animal is.
Macaque.
All right, we got it.
I think everybody has an answer. John, you have an answer?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. Sandhill crane. John says turkey. Brody says sandhill crane. Corinne says some tropical bird or monkey. And Giannis says sandhill crane. The correct answer is sandhill crane. Sandhill crane vocalizations have been described by ornithologists as moans, hisses, honks, trills, purrs, and snores, but what you heard there is called a bugle.
That's upsetting because I've been around sandhill cranes, and it's just my homunculus was not
not. You're probably within a couple hundred yards of one right now.
Yeah. That would have been a good trivia question. Did they call it a bugle?
It's a little bit too subjective because some folks may call it a honk, but bugle is what you'll commonly see. Question eight, we'll get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. I think it's still a pretty tight race. The topic is wildlife. This animal is the world's sixth heaviest land mammal and 11th deadliest animal for humans. What is it?
In the world.
What I mean by 11th deadliest for humans is it kills the 11th most humans per year. So, again, it is the 6th heaviest land mammal and 11th deadliest animal for humans. Steve had an answer immediately. The rest of the room is still thinking pretty hard.
6th.
This gives me time to go.
Heaviest.
This is in the world, the 6th heaviest land mammal.
Does this
mammal
include aquatic animals?
And 11th deadliest animal for humans. I'll read the question again for you, Brody. Okay. This animal is the world's 6th.
Does this include whitetails?
This animal is the world's 6th heaviest land mammal and 11th deadliest animal for humans.
Yeah, big giant buck.
What is it?
You tell me when you're ready.
The Huff Buck.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah, it's really bugging me.
Nope, I don't.
Oh,
I want a little more time.
No, no.
Someone was complaining about the time when Steve was having trouble.
Yep.
Brody also does not like it when people erase. He thinks you need to stick with that first answer you write down.
It's a sign of weakness, man. It's like he's a flip-flopper. He's a flip-flopper.
Hey, everyone else has done it.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying the hippo, Cal saying the Cape Buffalo, John saying the moose, Brody saying the moose, Hayden saying the moose, Kryn saying the hippo, and Giannis saying the hippo. We have a diverse set of answers here. The correct answer is hippo.
Ah! Oh,
yes! That's six? That's what are the first five?
It's like a variety of elephants. There might be a rhino above them.
Asiatic elephant.
Oh,
right?
We're going species.
The two kind of rhinos.
Oh, I didn't know we're going species by species.
What do you
think
they
meant?
Like rough groupings?
Yeah.
Now, even like even like moose is pretty far down on the list. I think they're like 29th or something.
I raised hippo.
I got a tricky. I got a question for you, Spencer.
Let's hear it.
What's the number one most deadliest animal in the world?
Mosquito.
That's correct. By like a lot.
Now, hippos weigh nearly 7,000 pounds, which makes them lighter than elephants but heavier than giraffes, and they kill about 500 humans per year, which puts them behind assassin bugs but ahead of sharks.
Yeah, but your question was in regards to mammals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like
okay. All right.
that doesn't factor into it.
Got it.
Hit us with a scoreboard update.
God, I've got Phil.
The wheels are coming off this now. The weights and the animals above this hippo.
By EOD. By EOD.
We have two questions left.
All right. In third place, we have John Mualem with 4 points, which is
John!
Which is honestly a strong third because he's still in the game.
It doesn't feel that way.
No, you got
I appreciate that, but it doesn't.
Tied for second, we have Brody, Cal, Kryn, and Hayden. And then tied for first, we have Giannis, the Latvian Eagle, Patelis, and Steven, the Ranella.
This is where friendships get ruined, man.
It's so frustrating because I feel like hippo is the default answer for that. It's like everybody knows hippos kill a bunch of people. But then when you got to put them in order of weight.
Yeah, that threw me.
I was like, well, maybe it's a smarter question than I'm giving it credit for. And that's where I kill myself every week.
I'm feeling good
by
today.
By thinking he's a lot smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but I think
I'm feeling good today in games. I got Wordle in 3.
Oh, you know what I played with my wife last night? This is a great game. It's in that same family as Wordle, and I didn't know about it, but it's like looks like a little honeycomb. And there's a letter in it that has to be used in every word.
Oh, the spelling bee.
Yeah. That's why it's a honeycomb.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, we poured the coals to it and only came up with half the possibles.
I had a night where I played that. Someone introduced me to it, and I got the highest mark, and I had to delete it from a phone. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to get sucked into this big time. I saw where it was going.
Mm-hmm.
I just went out on a high note.
My wife likes to play it to get to genius.
Oh, yeah.
We fell short.
Yeah.
I'm sure we just sat there for like 8 more hours. We would have found another word, but it was getting slow returns.
Yeah. No, this was like, a bag of potato chips or something for me. I was like, I got to just put that over there and never touch that again.
We're on to question 9. The topic is fishing. This legendary fishing lure invented in 1910 has a unique name that was intentionally misspelled so that it wouldn't offend religious anglers.
Oh, come on.
What is it? This legendary fishing lure invented in 1910 has a unique name that was intentionally misspelled so that it wouldn't offend religious anglers. Now, Steve knew it right away, but I haven't seen anybody else write down an answer.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Legendary fishing lure.
Legendary fishing lure that was invented in 1910 has a unique name that was intentionally misspelled so that it wouldn't offend religious anglers. And if you spell it wrong, I would still give it to you. Brody, how's it going over there?
It's not going at all.
It was called the Bajiz.
Does everybody but Brody have an answer? Brody?
I don't have an answer.
You want a few more seconds? Or?
No, that's wrap.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Daredevil, Cal saying the Water Walker. I like that. I don't know if that's a lure, but it should be. John saying the Krugen Fix.
It's a crucifix.
Crucifix,
but
I'm
spelled
sorry.
It C-R-O-O-O-O.
That should also be a fishing lure.
C-K-S.
Should also be a fishing lure. Brody without an answer. Hayden saying the Water Walker. Corinne saying the Virgin Mary, spelled like Merry Christmas. And Giannis saying the Daredevil.
You know why Giannis shouldn't get it? Because he spelt the word. He didn't misspell it.
I said Spencer you don't have to spell it accurately.
No, he's
the
just
correct
go to hell.
Answer is Daredevil.
Dude, which is spelled, be in a showdown.
Which is spelled D-A-R-D-E-V-L-E. Lou
oh,
Eppinger.
I didn't spell it right either. I'm glad he's not holding
it. How did you spell it?
I just thought it was like devil, like D-E-V with an apostrophe L.
Lou Eppinger invented the Daredevil in 1910. It was originally named the Osprey Lure, but Eppinger chose to change the name after World War I to honor the U.S. Marines, who the Germans referred to as Daredevils because of their fierce fighting style. We're on to the last question. Hit us with a scoreboard update, Phil.
It's just down to Steve and Yanni.
And what are
the 7 points apiece.
It's been amazing to watch Brody's games fall apart today.
Everyone has a bad day once in a while,
Steve. I mean,
started
out like two, wham, wham.
Yep.
It was like.
It feels horrible.
He Brody snatched failure from the jaws of victory.
Fell apart. I like that.
I fell apart.
It's good.
Daredevil resurrected you, in my opinion, from that crappy hippo question.
Oh, you like that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a good one.
The
Little
final
Americana.
Question. The topic is public lands. This next right question comes to us via Patrick McGee. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, send it to trivia@themeateater.com. There are 5 states with multiple national grasslands. Name 2 of them. 2 of the states. Should be specific. There are 5 states with multiple national grasslands. Name 2 of those states. Pretty quick answers for the 2 fellas in the lead, but they both look stumped. I would gather that they have 1, but are trying to come up with a 2nd. How you feel, Brody?
Yeah, good, because I've been to them. I know them. Hunted pronghorn on 1. What?
That's a pretty good tip.
These fellas can probably recall every pronghorn you've killed.
Nah. Killed a bunch.
That's the right answer.
Bunch of bunch.
Giannis, Steve, how we doing?
In all sorts of grasslands and all sorts of states.
I want to change my shit up.
Oh.
Yeah, Brody's tip is influencing my decision here.
You should almost call a mistrial on that, man.
Yep, I'm going to change. Yeah.
The one I got rid of, rather than erasing it, I scratched it out.
If
I wind up being wrong, I want to be like, but.
Oh, but I my
I mean, but.
If you right? want to fight it.
Yeah.
I
well, just
to
be like,
thing,
you know,
Steve.
Like, it'd be like. But, you know, we all know that.
Does everybody have an answer?
Tactics.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying South Dakota and Colorado. Cal saying Wyoming and South Dakota. John saying Nebraska and Kansas. Brody saying Colorado and Wyoming.
Ooh.
Hayden saying South Dakota and Nebraska. Corinne saying Nebraska and Iowa. And Giannis saying Nebraska and Wyoming. The correct answers are Colorado, North Dakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, oof, and Texas.
I won! Oh. I won!
Who won, Phil? I couldn't. Do we have a winner?
Steven Rinella is the winner.
Wyoming wasn't even on there.
Wyoming was not one with multiple. There,
Steve, how does your humongous feel?
It is a grasslands refuge or reserve or something in a Wyoming antelope.
But multiple grasslands.
Yeah,
the state
two.
Has to have.
Be multiple.
There are only 20. There are only 20 in the country, and we're looking for states that have 2 of them.
Oh,
you know, when I got my thing from Brody's tip, I was wrong, but it steered me in the right direction.
He crossed out Arizona.
Because I was like, I don't know where all Brody's killed an antelope, but damn sure wasn't Arizona.
Brody. Wow.
I would have heard about that.
John, did you have fun playing trivia?
At first. I had fun. If now I feel like it's like the Queen Bee thing. Like I got to come back. I want to study up. I feel like this is not how I want it to seem to you guys. I want to do better.
We have one of your neighbors.
Who's that?
My buddy Tommy Edson.
Okay.
Coming because he's been walking it back now. He sends me his scorecard and he texts me yesterday being like, you have to stop saying that I said I win every game. Because I never said I win every game. Like, don't do this.
Now, John, what happens next is Steve gets to choose where our $500 donation goes. So who are you going to give it to, Steve?
I'm going to donate. I can't remember what I did last time.
I think you every time you choose
to do it. No, I'm doing our own land access initiative.
There you go. I like that. Good option.
You know, I win enough. I mean, the next time I'll do TRCP.
I'm looking forward to those ones. You're not going to be in here coming up.
That's it for Meat Eater Trivia. Thank you for playing, John. It's the only game show where conservation always wins and Greenland is a country.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. Sport Dog is the most recognized brand in the hunting dog training industry. The Sport Dog promise to consumers is simple. Gear the way you'd design it. Every product Sport Dog builds is meticulously designed and rigorously tested in the field, ensuring it withstands the toughest conditions you and your dog may encounter.
I've used that Sport Dog collar in different temperatures. It just doesn't stop working.
Get 20% off your first purchase using code MEATEATER. So go to www.sportdog.com/MEATEATER to learn more.